There are several announcements in the bulletin. Please take note of them. Especially tonight, we'll have our annual business meeting at 6 o'clock, followed by a baptismal at 6:30. And then we're having a night of desserts at about 7 or so when we're done with that. So I encourage you to come be a part of that, a time of celebration. Just bring a dessert that you can share with everyone else and just celebrate together. Next Sunday evening, on Christmas Eve Sunday, there will not be an evening service next week, but I encourage you to be here as we celebrate in the morning. A few other announcements in the bulletin, please read them, take note of them. Let's stand together as we begin our worship together. Let's sing Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Sing all four verses.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your visions beam afar, seek the great desire of nations. Ye have seen his natal star. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, and fear suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we do come to worship you this morning. We draw close to you and we believe that you will draw close to us. We come to worship Jesus Christ, the newborn King. Father, I thank you for that first Christmas that you drew people to worship him. You drew shepherds from the field. You drew wise men from the east. You drew the host of heaven to proclaim that Christ, the Savior, has been born. So, Lord, we ask this morning that your Spirit would just fill your people, that you would move among us, that you would accomplish what you desire, that Christ might be formed in us, that we might represent him to a lost and dying world. It's for your glory and your glory alone we pray. In his name, amen. You may be seated.
Now let's turn to number 118, our hymnals on the screen for child is in. Sing all three verses.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet aid while shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, in whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean a state, who where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners hear the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, in whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This the King, in the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, or come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, in whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, in the babe, the Son of Mary.
Great. If you take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. And as we sang that song, "What Child Is This?" and asked the question, that was also the question of Joseph. What child is this? Whose child is this? Matthew chapter 1, we want to read Matthew's account in verses 18 through 25, if you'll listen or follow along as I read. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he took Mary as his wife, but he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Lord willing, this morning we'll be looking at Christmas through the eyes of Joseph and perhaps a fresh or different way this morning. Let's continue to worship the Lord by giving back out of the material things that he's given us. If the ushers would come forward, and we'll worship the Lord in that way right now. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time of the year when we remember in a special way that you entered our time and our space. You took on flesh to accomplish a task, to give your life as a ransom for many. So, Lord, we worship you. We adore you. We can never earn or pay back what you've done for us, and so we express our gratitude, and we do that this morning through gifts. But Lord, we also come acknowledging our weakness, our frailty, our neediness. And Lord, I just pray for those among us who continue to ail at this time of the season. We pray for Gwen Sprunger and Alan as they're in Florida. We thank you for the strength that you're giving Gwen. We pray that you would continue to have your hand upon her in every way, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And Lord, if it be your will, may you heal her from this cancer. I pray as they prepare for the PET scan, may their faith be in you and not in doctors or tests. So Lord, accomplish your perfect work. And Father, we pray for Jeff Stein with his colon cancer, and I pray that you would do a spiritual work in his heart. You know what he needs. And Lord, you can do all things, and you work through the brokenness of our life and the frailty. And so I pray for your glory that you might do a spiritual work in his heart. And Lord, I thank you for the grace and kindness and Jerry Morton in not having her back fractured. And I pray that as she undergoes therapy, may you strengthen her and enable her and meet her needs. Lord, we pray for Art and Marion as they have traveled back to Arizona. We ask that they would have some special weeks with their family and meet their needs, I pray. Lord, I pray for the baptism tonight. I pray that it might be a blessing to all. I thank you for Arlen's desire to obey you and to follow the Lord, follow you in scriptural baptism. So bless her and bless all those who participate. So Father, just take these gifts as an expression of hearts that truly love you. May they be an expression of our adoration and of our gratitude. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Arlene. Appreciate you playing. Let's bow together in prayer as we look into God's Word. Father, we continue in a spirit and a heart of worship, of acknowledging who you are and acknowledging who we are, but embracing who you've made us in Christ. So, Lord, we come as your children, to turn an ear to you, to your word, to look at this Christmas time through a fresh set of eyes inspired by your word. So through your spirit, speak to our hearts, encourage us, mold us, and shape us. accomplish in us what you desire this morning. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, I have a little bit of an admission to make this morning. Maybe startling to some of you, maybe not to others, but I am a little bit of a country music fan. Okay? Now, hopefully that doesn't rock too many of your worlds. I don't know whether it was growing up with my dad liking Tennessee Ernie Ford. I remember it was one Christmas time when he said, boy, he said, I really would like a tape, an 8-track tape, that's back when we had those, of some Tennessee Ernie Ford songs. And so for one Christmas, they had it at Schwartz Marathon Station. They had a rack there of 8-track tapes, and I bought him one of Tennessee Ernie Ford. Maybe it's the stories, I think, that country music tends to tell, the stories of life, the drama, the pain. But there's one story that was actually a famous, that made it to number one in 1999. And as we contemplate looking at Christmas through the eyes of Joseph, I wanted to play this song and remind you. It's called "He Didn't Have to Be." It's a story about a dad that didn't have to be, and maybe it connects us a little bit with the heart of Joseph. So I want to play this song for you.
A single mom goes out on a date with somebody new. It always winds up being more like a job interview. My mama used to wonder if she'd ever meet someone who wouldn't find out about me and then turn around and run. Man, I called my dad when I was 5 years old. He took my mom out to a movie, and for once I got to go. A few months later, I remember lying there in bed. I overheard him pop the question, and I prayed that she'd say yes. And then all of a sudden, all it seemed so strange to me how we went. Something's missing to a family. Looking back, all I can say about all the things he did for me. I hope I'm at least half the man that he didn't have to be. I met the girl that's now my wife about 3 years ago. We had a perfect marriage, but we wanted something more. Now here I stand surrounded by our family and friends, crowded round the nursery window as they bring the baby in. And now all of a sudden, oh, it seems so strange to me how we've gone. Something's missing to the family. Looking through the glass, I think about the man standing next to me. And I hope I'm at least half the dad that he didn't have to be. Looking back, all I that he didn't have to be. Because he didn't have to be. You know he didn't have to be.
He didn't have to be. I think sometimes we become so familiar with the Christmas story that it loses its humanity. That we forget that it was real individuals, real people with real struggles. This morning we want to take a few steps back and put on the glasses of the eyes of Joseph and look at the story anew through his eyes. And this morning we'll see that Joseph made choices throughout his life, lots of choices that are often ignored or brushed over, not given much thought by us. Probably the greatest choice that he ever made was to be recognized as the stepfather of the Son of God. I don't know about you, but that's pretty big shoes to fill. Joseph, frankly, didn't have to be. But this morning we'll see that there's something that I believe that characterized Joseph. At great personal cost to himself, at the risk of his reputation. Oftentimes we think, well, Mary, and what were people going to think of Mary? But I contend that Joseph's reputation was just as much online. Who would be the natural thought of whose child is this? It's a person she's engaged to. Joseph literally put himself and his earthly future on the line. This morning, I want to see that I think that there's a quality that characterizes Joseph, that Joseph was a man who was obedient. Joseph was a man who had a submissive spirit that obeyed God. We're going to look at several incidences in his life this morning, but clearly Joseph had a quality that he was submissive and compliant to authority. Various words are at the root of the idea of obedience, and the Hebrew, it refers to listen attentively and to respond with action, to hear, to give heed. Joseph had an obedient heart. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 1, the passage that we read just a little while ago. Matthew chapter 1. I believe that we first see this evident, this quality in Joseph's heart as he responded to the angelic instruction. Tradition tells us, we don't have it biblically verified, but tradition says that Joseph was quite a bit older than Mary. By the time Jesus' ministry comes on the scene in the gospel account, Joseph is no longer mentioned. In all likelihood, Joseph had died, had passed away. Perhaps at an early age, tradition says that he was older. When Jesus was on the cross and he looked to the apostle John, he said, "Behold your mother," and to Mary, "Behold your son," that apparently she was widowed. But if tradition is correct that Joseph was older, he waited a little bit later in life to get married. Some of you got married a little bit later in your life. You waited for the right person to come along. You perhaps dated other individuals. You knew other women or other men, but it was just never quite the right one. But then that perfect one came along. Joseph, no doubt, thought he had found the perfect one. The pure and the holy, the Virgin Mary. Such a sweet and gentle spirit. And so they were engaged. Engagement was very different then than it is now. Engagement really doesn't mean as much a lot today. It's easily broken, easily canceled. But engagement back then was a legally binding arrangement. It was a legal commitment that could only be severed or broken by another legal arrangement. I tried to think of what might compare it to us today, and every illustration breaks down a little bit, but it's common around here to have auctions, to go to public auctions, to bid on a house, to bid on some property. And oftentimes that gets quite expensive. It gets into hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so imagine that you're bidding on a piece of property, and so finally you get the winning bid, and maybe it goes for $400,000. We'll make up an amount. Now, the custom is that you'll normally put down a deposit check set by the auctioneer. It may be $1,000, maybe $5,000. You'll put that down, but it's assumed that you have the financing, the arrangement to back up the rest of that. You see, you couldn't just run up the bid. They say sold to you, and then you just walk off and never to be seen again. You see, there is a legal arrangement. You won the bid, you put down your deposit, and that within a given period of time, you will deliver on the rest. In some ways, that's similar here. You made a commitment that you're considered sold. Now, again, we're not talking about selling people and property, but it is a commitment. It's considered a done deal, just waiting to be consummated. Engagement at that time was a legal transaction, just simply waiting for the final consummation. Joseph had committed himself to this pure, sweet, godly fiance called Mary. I want you to listen carefully, because Joseph's reputation was suddenly on the line. What he had bargained for, what he had committed to, suddenly this was not the property, using that metaphor again. This was not the deal that he had bargained for. As I mentioned, that in all likelihood, many would assume, since they were engaged, that he was the father. Joseph risked his reputation, and Matthew describes him as a righteous man. He was a man that was characterized by seeking to be right with God. It means that he sought to obey the Old Testament law. He sought to live in such a way that would please God. Joseph suddenly now found himself in what appeared on all earthly perspective as a very unpleasing arrangement. There were three major options that Joseph had. According to Deuteronomy 22, verse 21, he could press the law and follow the law to the nth degree, and Mary would be stoned. That would give Joseph full exoneration. It would make it very clear that I have nothing in this. I have no part. This child is not mine. And she will suffer the consequences. Deuteronomy 22, in fact, says that's what should legally be done. The second major option was that he could have a public divorce. This is not the arrangement. This is not the sale, so to speak, that I had bargained for. And so he would have a public ceremony. It become a public situation in which there was a public announcement. And Joseph would be freed from this relationship. The third option is that he could give her a piece of paper, a public writ, a certificate, a bill of divorce, and send her away. Joseph was a righteous man. But Matthew also records that he says he did not want to disgrace her. Joseph felt pity. He had a tenderness. And so while struggling with his own reputation, and if you think I'm pressing that point too far, please note that verse 20 says, when he had considered this. The Greek word is a synonym to where Mary pondered these things. It's a very similar word. He rolled them around. He thought about it. What do I do about this? Or what people are going to say about this? And what Joseph was in some ways in turmoil. He was considering all his options. He considered what to do. You know, one other thing that I thought of in ancient Near Eastern customs, usually marriages were, and still to this day, are very much handled through their parents. The parents, you know, one set of parents will talk to another set of parents and they make the agreements. And of course, they communicate with the children. But it's not just like in our Western culture, you know, that, hey, do you want to get married? And we talk together. And then, oh, by the way, we probably ought to say something to our parents. No, the parents were intimately involved. In fact, usually they led in the arrangements. So how did Joseph even find out about Mary being pregnant? Was it Mary's father came to Joseph's father, and then Joseph's father came to Joseph and said, hey, son, I need to talk to you about something. The reason I think it's okay for us to humanly think of the situation, but I think that we need to think of the human dynamics. You see, this was not just one woman and one man. There were families involved. There were pressures. There were questions. You know, I'm going to step out just a little bit farther. I don't think I'm wrong to say or speculate that Joseph was heartbroken. Wouldn't you be? You waited for however long to get married and you thought you found the perfect mate. And now she's pregnant. Would you shed tears? Would you lose sleep at night? That's just human, right? Joseph was rolling all these things around. He was pondering. He was considering, what do I do? And I feel for Mary, and yet I want to be obedient to God, and I can't be a part of this. I can't let it go on. I have to step back. I cannot be a part of this sinful situation. But I still love her. So I'll just privately give her a certificate, and that'll free her for the future. And I'll trust God to take care of me. I think it's fair to say that Joseph was heartbroken. There were probably tears. I think it's also interesting to see that we have no signs of revenge. We have no signs of seeking to be just. I want my fair day in court. As Joseph rolled all these things around, Matthew tells us that an angel came to him in a dream. Now we might for a moment think, well, that clears everything up. Okay, you know, I had a dream and there was an angel, and now I don't know about you, but I would wonder a little, is this real? I'm asleep, I'm dreaming. And yet it's clearly so intense. You see, the angel's announcement brought two things. It brought good news. Good news, Mary did not sin. The baby conceived by her is of the Holy Spirit. It's from God. That's good news. Mary did nothing wrong. But you know, there's the other side of that coin. There's bad news. Like, everybody's going to believe that, right? Like, that doesn't solve everything. And so I think it's at this point that we need to wrestle with this, that Matthew says in verse 24 that Joseph did as the Lord commanded him. You see, implied there's a choice. And this is where we see Christmas through the eyes of Joseph, that Joseph chose to obey. You know, I think it's just far too easy for us to just brush over this and not put ourselves in the situation. Would you have obeyed at this point? Well, there's good news. This is Mary did nothing wrong. There's the bad news that, like, I'm sure everybody's going to believe this story. She got pregnant by God. Oh, yeah, right. In fact, we could look at the Gospels that plagued throughout her life, that they mocked Jesus. At least we know who our Father is. It never got away from him. It never got away from Mary. It never got away from Joseph. But Joseph made a choice to obey in the midst of deep and difficult situations. Joseph had a heart that obeyed. I think we can also see it throughout his life that it was evident in his response to government authority. Luke chapter 2, the familiar Christmas story, we won't turn there this morning, but Luke's account that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this took place when Quirinius was governor in Syria. We all know that. There are some minority of scholars that debate that says that really Mary could have got an exemption since she was full with child. She was within just literally a matter of weeks of having the child, that she could have got an exemption, that she didn't have to travel. And yet we see Joseph taking his wife, responding to the powers that be. Joseph recognized they were powers ordained by God. And I don't think it's too lightly to brush over this, that I think we see a yielded and submissive spirit in Joseph. In fact, we really don't have many words recorded by Joseph. In fact, Joseph he's a silent individual in the pages of Scripture. He doesn't speak verbally, but yet his heart speaks. One who was willing to obey in the midst of difficult situations. One who was willing to yield to government authorities even in the midst of not so easy circumstances. You know, I think that Joseph, being a righteous man, was probably aware of the Old Testament scriptures in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The prophecy that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. And so when the decree went out that Joseph had to go back to Bethlehem, he responded in a yielded, submissive, obedient spirit to government authorities. Because I think a third quality that we can see is that's evident that he was obedient to God's word. I think he probably knew the prophecy of Micah 5:2, but in Luke chapter 2, if you just flip over there for a second, we see another expression of his heart. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, just simply 8 days after the famous incident with the shepherds, in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, and when 8 days had passed, before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they, I believe that's referring to Mary and Joseph, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so Mary and Joseph went the 5-6 mile distance from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem. Because you see, Joseph was obedient to God's word. He knew what God's word said. And they presented two turtle doves, which most scholars take that was an indication that they didn't have a lot of money. That it was a poor sacrifice, but an acceptable sacrifice. But Joseph was committed to take the lead as the father, which was a tradition that the father would lead the way. The father would present the sacrifice. The father would fulfill the law. I think we see in Joseph a heart that wants to obey. He obeyed in the midst of angelic instruction that this is a situation in which you're going to be the stepfather, though you don't have to be. He was obedient to government authorities. He was obedient to the word of God. And finally, I think another situation we see that he was obedient to and responsive to a heavenly warning. In Matthew chapter 2, after the Magi visited, that suddenly an angel appeared and he was instructed to flee to Egypt. Now, again, these are so familiar stories that we just become used to them. But I actually got out and I saw the distance. Now, we don't know how far he went into Egypt. So he could have went just to the outskirts of Egypt. But let's just for a moment assume that he went to the capital of Egypt at that time. Do you realize that that is about the same distance of traveling from Indianapolis to Kansas City? Now, you may think that's quite a distance in your car or your van. How about try walking it? You see, suddenly when we put it in those perspectives that I have to go from Indianapolis to Kansas City, I start thinking of a lot of different options I could go. Well, how about I go down and hide in Kentucky? Okay, I could hide there. They'll never find me. You see, I think there were lots of options that Joseph didn't have to go to Egypt. It wasn't the most convenient place. It wasn't the shortest place. He could have went over into Arabia. He could have went over into modern-day Jordan. He could have been a lot of shorter places just to be out of the reach of Herod. But Joseph was obedient. I think I could have rationalized a lot of ways than to take a foot track from Indianapolis to Kansas City. But the scriptures tells us that it was in fulfillment of Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, that out of Egypt I will call my son. I think this morning as we think of Christmas, and what I'm challenging you on is to think of Christmas a little fresh. To take a step back from the stories that we've known so well and put it in human form. And see it through the eyes of Joseph, a man that didn't have to be, but yet obediently chose to be called the stepfather. He didn't say as much of our generation today as, you see, I think really we struggle with obedience today. We've bought into our culture that says, have it your way. Remember the old commercial way back from Burger King? Have it your way. You deserve a break today. This doesn't make me happy. I don't like it. I want what I want. You see, I think we struggle with obedience. But I believe if we're going to look at a fresh and new the Christmas story, we have to see the heart of obedience. From frankly a quiet and silent individual, but an individual that had a heart of obedience. I believe in the heart of Joseph we see a reflection of the heart of Jesus, who didn't have to come, but came in obedience to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus obeyed the will of the Father that he might come and seek and to save that which was lost. I believe through the eyes of Joseph, we can see a little bit better the heart of Jesus, of one who obeyed, who gave himself, so that we might enjoy the riches of heaven for eternity. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, I thank you for Joseph, who while he remains quiet on the pages of Scripture, his heart speaks. A heart of submissive obedience. A heart that was willing to respond to the message, the command of the angel, to do what, frankly, a lot of people wouldn't have done. A heart that was willing to be inconvenienced. A heart that was willing to obey your word and what you'd said. A heart that gave himself. Lord, thank you for allowing us to see your heart a little bit better through the heart of Joseph. Lord, we come to your table this morning, which is really the reason you came in a manger. As the angels announced, a Savior has been born. Lord, as you said throughout your life that you came to seek and to save that which is lost, you came to give your life a ransom for many. Lord, we thank you for your body which was broken for us, your body which hung on the cross, your body which was pierced for us. And as Isaiah the prophet said about the suffering servant, the Lamb of God, it's by your stripes that we are healed. I thank you that it's through your shed blood that we have the atonement, the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, I thank you that at this Christmas time, that we not just simply remember the manger, but we remember the cross. So thank you for giving us these elements that help us remember in a tangible, a way that we can feel, we can touch, we can taste, that we remember You. Lord, speak to us now through the partaking of these elements, I pray, in Your precious name. Amen. Ask if the men would come forward at this time. As I pray, this is really what Christmas is really all about. It's really in the shadow of the manger is the shadow of the cross. This is really why Jesus Christ came. And so we come this morning, and here at Grace Bible, you don't have to officially be a member of this congregation. What the Bible requires is that through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, that you're a member of His spiritual family. That beyond any shadow of a doubt, you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that by His grace that you are seeking to live in such a way that it honors the Lord. And I encourage you as we pause for just a moment that the Apostle Paul said, let each person who partakes of this to examine himself and to see not that any of us are worthy, but that we partake in a worthy manner. And so I encourage you in just a moment, we're going to pause a time of just quiet reflection, that you just commune with God, and you just, if there's anything that's not right between you and the Lord, that you just confess that. You acknowledge, you embrace afresh and anew the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that in a clear conscience, in a good way, that you can celebrate, you can affirm the person of Jesus Christ. So let's just pause for a moment. I encourage you as we do that you just pray and speak to the Lord now. Lord, I thank You that we can look at Christmas not through the world's eyes of Santa Claus or jingle bells, but we look at it through the eyes of faith that sees God in flesh, Emmanuel, on a mission to atone for the sins of the world. Lord, I thank You for each person here that has, by faith, embraced the person and work of Christ, and His blood has been applied to their lives. Lord, I thank You that You did what we could not do. You, the second sinless Adam, You gave Your life. And so, Lord, I thank You this morning for Your body, which was broken for us. Your body, which was in our place. I thank You for loving us so much that You gave Your life. It's in Your name we pray. Thank you. Together as God's people, let's do this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to ask Warren Morton, as one of our elders, if you would thank the Lord for his blood which was shed for us.
Father, thank you for your Son, who in obedience to you came to humble himself, took on flesh, went to the cross, shed his blood, that our sins would be forgiven. Knowing your word, you have said that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And we realize that you have not been bought by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace.
Let's do this together in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sing together the chorus, "O come, let us adore him." Let's just sing that together. O come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, cried the Lord again. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, cries the Lord. to ask Pat Dollier if she would come forward now. I'll let you go back if you want. A couple weeks ago, Pat expressed that she would like to officially become a part of Grace Bible Church. It's been a joy to have Pat here now for, I don't know, several months now. You've been coming, and she's been in a part of our community group that meets on Wednesday night, and I just appreciate her heart and just sharing. And so she met with the elders this past week before Art and Marion went back to Arizona, and just shared her faith. And so I just kind of asked her, I know it's a little nervous for anybody to get up in front of everybody. And so she said, I'm a little anxious about this, but I just wanted to ask if she would just kind of share why you want to join Grace Bible Church, and maybe a little bit what Christ means to you. And so maybe I'll just let you share a little bit here.
Well, I've really, really enjoyed being here and meeting you all. You're so friendly. And I read through that Constitution, and I just agreed with all of it. It's just wonderful.
Great.
And I'm looking forward to working with the ladies.
I appreciate it. One of the things that I've enjoyed, and Becky shared as well, and Art mentioned in our community group, she's jumped right in. She shares. She does the questions, and she's just been an active part, not just simply sitting back. Pat, would you maybe just share a verse that's kind of special to you, a verse that just maybe expresses your faith, one that's just kind of been dear to you maybe over the years?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Amen. Great. We've just been finishing up Philippians, so Philippians chapter 4, that we can do the things that God calls us to do through the strength that Christ provides. So the elders have unanimously recommended the congregation that we accept Pat in as a member of this congregation. So those of you who are members, if you affirm that, just simply say by saying aye. All right. Okay. Is there any who would oppose? Okay. If not, then Pat, we officially welcome you into the Fellowship of Grace Bible Church. It's a joy to have you. And we just love having you here. And so I'm going to go ahead and let Pat slip back, if that's okay. Back, if you would, by the doors. And please, when you leave today, just greet her and just officially extend the right hand of fellowship. Also, the ushers are going to be kind of at the doors having our Deacon Benevolent Fund. That's a tradition whenever we celebrate the Lord's table. So if God's laid it upon your heart to just contribute to that, we encourage you, they'll be there to do that. Let's stand together, and I'll close in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for just so much today, for this season. I thank you for the example of Joseph. I thank you for your table. I thank you for Pat, and I just thank you that you brought her back to Bern. I thank you that you brought her here to Grace Bible Church. I appreciate her sweet and gentle spirit and her desire to do whatever she can to contribute, and not just coasting at this stage in her life, but being actively engaged. So, Father, thank you for having her come and be a part of this congregation. I ask your blessing upon her life. Meet her needs as only you can. Help us as a body to love her as she loves us, and that we can truly be a family that represents your heavenly family. So, bless each person, I pray, as we go from here. Help us to be lights in a dark world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you.